Julianne and Kendall are going to be sharing about their trip to Cambodia. Julianne and Kendall need to leave early, so we're putting them early in the service, but we wanted to make sure that you heard what took place there, and they're going to be sharing with us. And I know that there's some exciting things that they want to tell you, so just want to invite them forward. They can come and share what happened with them this summer.
Quickly going to go through what God did through us and in us during our trip to Cambodia this summer. It started back last year when, through God's grace, I was able to go down to Atlanta and teach in a school down there. And that was really the beginning of it, because I never thought that God would take me to Atlanta. But through that, then we were able to look for a missions opportunity down there, and this Cambodia trip came up. And then, you know, it just spread to my mom and spread to my brother, and it's just been, like, pieced together that this is what God had for us. And in my life, just one little piece of what he did for me over there, this whole year I've been really dependent upon him being by myself down in Atlanta and really needing him for friends and for a church and for all this stuff. So as the year went along and things were going really good, I got pretty confident in my spiritual walk that I was really depending upon God and that things were going well. So when I went on this trip, I didn't really have any expectations as far as, you know, I know that God's going to do this or I know that God's going to do this. I pretty much left that open and wasn't sure where he was going to take me or how he was going to teach me. And I think that's a huge part of missions, is that you're not only going to bless those people, but you are going to have your life changed. And you don't know how. And you might think, like I thought, well, you know, I'm doing pretty good in my spiritual walk, which is bad. Don't think that. Because God will automatically just zap you. But so that's basically what he did. The first couple days when we were there, things were going really well. He had given me the verse Romans 12 before we went on the trip as just something that popped in my head, so I wrote it down in my journal. And it says, be patient in, joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer. And so I kind of just was meditating over that. And about the third day that we were there, I got sick. And I decided to stay in that morning with another girl that was sick and let everybody else go to one of the orphanages. And while I was there with her, like, my head just started hurting, and I was trying to be supportive of her, but she was really negative, and I just got overcome by this thing that I just didn't want to be in this room anymore. And I remember her dad came back, and he's like, how are you guys feeling? You know, is it okay if I go to lunch? Is it okay if you stay here with her some more? And I kind of felt, she was a middle school girl, so somebody had to stay with her. And I felt like, you know, I really wanted to free him so that he could go out and be with the rest of the group. But at the same time, I just couldn't stay in that room anymore. And so I said, you know, I really got to get out of the room. And I went up on the balcony after I left, and I felt so bad because I felt so selfish for not letting him have that opportunity to go out that afternoon and do some more stuff and making him stay in that room. And I just felt really down. And I knew, and I wrote about this in my journal, too, as I looked at it this morning. I knew that coming on the trip that you get attacked by Satan when you're willing to do what God wants you to. So I already felt like, okay, I know this is Satan trying to attack me, that is trying to give me a bad attitude and it's trying to do all this stuff, but I couldn't stop it. I felt jealous that I hadn't gotten to go that morning to the orphanage with the rest of the group. I felt just overcome by just feeling really down on myself. And then God opened my eyes and said, he humbled me, and he said, you know, even when you know these things are happening, even when you think that your spiritual walk is going so good, you still can't do any of it without me. And so it just opened my eyes to the fact that every day of mine needs to be devoted to the Lord, and everything that I do, no matter how my intentions are good or bad or what I think that I'm doing, if it's not for the Lord and through the Lord and with the Lord, then it's worth nothing. And so the rest of my trip from then on was changed and really devoted to God, and I really felt that in my life as I've come back too, that every day is a mission, and every day I go and see people, and even though they don't speak a different language, and even though they're not coming from a third world country, I can still have an impact on their lives. So that was longer than I expected to talk about.
There you go.
Sorry.
Cambodia for me was a really amazing experience. And it really only started about a month before we were actually able to go, when my mom just called me up one day at college, said, you know, I already knew they were going on the trip, and she said there might be an opportunity for me to go. She felt it laid on her heart from the Lord to see if there was a place for me. So we started looking into that and praying a lot, and basically the Lord just provided every necessity, every need, like, just paved the way, provided all the money and everything. Everyone else on the trip knew they were going for probably about 9 or 10 months and had been raising money and preparing all that time. And I only had, like, about 3 or 4 weeks to do so, and I was able to match the money and everything through my mom, through all you buying bread. Thank you. She was baking all the time at home, so that was really good. And I even had a friend at school give me his tithe money to help me, so that was really awesome. And then going over there and just playing with the kids and just seeing the joy in their faces, it was really amazing. Just sharing the word with them, sharing the word with people on Tonle Sap Lake, this really poor place. I mean, these people have nothing compared to us, absolutely nothing, and we go out there and speak to them about the Lord, and they're just so open and welcoming and warm, and it's just really moving. So I guess I really just felt called to go. My mother really felt like it was my place to go, and it was last minute, and I had to just drop everything and just go in faith, and it's been a real blessing. So I would just encourage you all to, if you ever really feel called, just make that decision. It reminds me of, I think Pastor Greg had a sermon about that not long ago, about just going in faith when you're called to answer the call and not worry about the details. Oh, I guess we're going to see the presentation now, put together for us by Art Quinn. Thank you.
Oh, this call of God on His church, it's so much bigger than individuals. So much bigger than me and Julianne and Kendall. We had such an awesome privilege to go and shine for Jesus. But it's really not about us. It's about Him. The one we shine for, the one who's bigger than life. So much bigger than our little existence here in Lancaster. You know, it opened my eyes. There's a big world out there. We're all sort of little, you know. It doesn't take much to look around. We're just one of many, many, many. But what's awesome is God has put this wonderful thing within our jars of clay. He has given us a beauty that far surpasses us. When we were there in Cambodia, I started getting this sense. And it wasn't like we were, you know, big preachers or anything. We just went and we played with children. We handed out some gifts when we went on the boats to the lake. And we prayed for people. But, you know, He was so much bigger. The thing that the sense I got was that we were leaving the sweet fragrance of our Jesus. It wasn't about us. But He was putting that, He had so given us that love that wherever we went, we were leaving His fragrance. We'd walk away, but that would linger. No matter if we had the words, it didn't matter. So, you know, part of me is like, I don't even know how to. It was just such a big experience. I never saw myself as going. I would be the one that would support and make bread and send. I think I was scared, to be honest. I had fear. What would it be like to go to a country where you didn't speak the language? Or what would it be like to, you know, cultures are so different and you're like, you're the one everybody stares at. What would that be like? But so awesome, we went, and we were that. And God gave such a grace, there was such a peace, I cannot explain. There was no fear, none. All I can say is, that's this awesome God that we are so privileged to know and love for Him. So I've been thinking about, since we've come back, you know, we went in June, beginning of June, and I'm like, what is all this, God? What is all this for? You know, what big purpose did we accomplish? And the only thing I can really sense, I keep getting this sense that this is so much bigger than our little trip. I mean, it wasn't little. It was 2 weeks and the other side of the world. But God has a real calling on this church. That's my sense. My sense is that this is a lot bigger than me, and that God wants to impart such a love in us. Like Julianne said, that it doesn't stop if we're not over there. If it's right here, and it's wherever God calls us. It's the calling, because it's Him. It's when He so gifts us or fills us. I don't know the words. I don't think I have the words. But even like Art, he got so excited about these pictures and this song. And you know, it was such a God thing. Even the song, did you hear the song? God is calling His church to shine. That's us, all of us. If you have called God your Lord and Savior, if you have given Him that place of Jesus as the one, that's us. We are to shine wherever we go. But you know, what is so awesome is that we, each of us, can just come and say, okay, God, what? And He loves it. He loves it. He loves it. He is so pleased when we come and say, okay, God, here I am. That's all He has. It's everything. And yet it's easy. Not simple, maybe, not easy. But I guess I look at my own life and I'm like, God, what have you accomplished? And all I can see is, you know, I used to have, okay, God, I'll do this, but. And here I faced all these fears. I didn't even think about it at the time, but all these fears became nothing. And it's so like God, okay, God. I no longer have any holds. I want to shine that life, that huge love that God has been giving me and pouring into me for these last 30-some years. I want to be such a shine that people see Him and want Him. That's all. This God, He is worth all that we are and more, far more. But that's all He asks, is all that we are. And so I just want to encourage, if God is ever, you know, I feel like this church, God has a calling on this church to shine, and He's going to show us where, how, when. It might be here, it might be down the street, but also might be in Africa, might be out there in Lancaster, could be, you know, other countries, but it might be right here. But let us be... say yes. That's my heart. Let's please say yes. Because we could just sit here and we can just play church. And it's so empty. It's not. You know, the heart is to know God and to be about His work. And that's where the life is. That's where life is. And anything I have to share about Cambodia is it was life-giving. And I pray for those people. What was so awesome to me is there were one of the first orphanages we went to. It was a government orphanage. And we were basically told we probably shouldn't talk about Jesus. And so we went, and we were a little scared, I'm sure. We were a little nervous. Well, what did that mean, whatever? And one of the awesome things is that we were here with all these children, and some of them spoke some English. And this little boy came up to me, and he said, Jesus loves me. And I just was just so awed. And I looked at him and I said, you know Him? And I'm not sure he knew what I asked him. But these children had heard. And it's like we could water now. We could sort of water these seeds, even though we didn't really know the language. But what was awesome is there was a young girl, probably maybe 16, something like that, that was in the group, and she was interpreting. She was asking a lot of questions, and she was just a really sweet girl, very lovely. And by the end, I had time to converse with her, and she gave me her email address, which I thought, I wonder if she really does get email. So I gave her mine, and I didn't quite know what to do with it. Today, I heard back from her, and I was like, oh, God. Her name was Srace Rose. You know, I didn't even know how to say her name, so I had to write it because I couldn't even, I didn't know how to say it. I can say it's, but shine, however God shows us to shine. You know, I don't know how I'm going to relate to this young girl, but part of me was like, God, you continue to open doors. You continue to make the path. And all he asks us to do is just follow him and shine. So that's my encouragement today.
Good morning. For those of you who don't know us, my name is Megan, and this is my husband, David. And we are privileged to be able to share with you a little bit of our experience to Ghana, Africa, this past June. We were there for a week, although we were gone for 10 days. Somehow you lose like 3 days of travel time when you do stuff like that. I'm not sure exactly where it goes, but somehow it just disappears. This trip for me personally was a huge lesson in trust and obedience. I could probably tell you for the next 2 hours how hard God had to work to get my husband and I in Africa. Because while it sounds really exotic and romantic, it's really scary. And I really wasn't into it, honestly, even though I was the one that proposed the idea. My husband didn't nix it, and I guess then I got really scared and a little nervous. But God worked everything together perfectly, time and time again. Dave and I continually set up roadblocks. We said, well, we can't go. We don't have the money. We don't have the vacation time. We don't have passports. We don't have immunizations. And on and on and on. And God, just as quickly, as soon as we threw up those roadblocks, he would just knock it down. He said, okay, God, well, now we have our passports, so we still can't go for this reason or that reason or whatever it might be. And lo and behold, I'm happy to say that we did go, and we're back all in one piece. And Judy and Brian, although a lot of people from the church who know us have just been wonderful encouragements, and there are a lot of phone calls I made that say, oh, please pray for us, we're not sure. But Judy and Brian, we talked to them one day after church, you know, and I was really undecided. And I'm sure this only ever happens to me, but God starts speaking to me, and then I ignore him. So then he puts someone physically in front of me who's saying the exact same thing that he's already spoken to my heart. And for me, that person was Judy. If you could believe it, Judy actually is a pretty straight shooter, and she just kind of tells it as it is. Brian, I'm sure this doesn't, do you believe it? I have an amen over here in this corner. Judy said to me, you know, if you're having fear, fear is not from the Lord. And I thought, oh, shoot, because I was really trying to convince myself that it was. And I was like, yeah, you're right. And, you know, it was. I had so much fear, and it came from Satan. And the nice thing is that when Satan starts messing with me, then he really starts messing with my father. And we all know how that's going to end. So Dave and I just took a big step of faith, and we ended up going to Africa with his family. His dad is a pastor and has been working very hard in Ghana for the past year and a half. Year and a half, he's nodding yes to me. The past year and a half, this is his fourth or fifth trip that he's been to Ghana. And when we were there, it was amazing. It was one of the most amazing experiences of my life. We had the opportunity to do a lot of relationship building, which in America, I think it's a gift that we've sort of forgotten about, of how to do that. You know, we spend a lot of time with people. We spend a lot of time sitting in churches, and yet we still never seem to talk to each other very much. And when I came back and was talking about my experience to people in the hospital and things like that, they said, oh, what did you do? It was a missions trip. So you were probably building houses, building things, anything. Were you building anything? I said, yeah, we were building relationships. And it was awesome because the people in Ghana are wonderful. They're very warm. They're very open. And they love you just for coming to see them. They just can't believe that someone from America who has it all would actually come to Africa and spend time with them, and it was a real privilege. So we spent time in about 4 churches, something like, we were at churches all the time, lots and lots of churches, which was awesome. And I have to tell you that only one church that we were in even had walls. The majority of them were just 4 pillars. A lot of them were in their construction stages. But, of course, with money being a tight issue over there, they just didn't have the church completed. And it's warm enough that you don't really need to worry about, you know, the cold winter weather, anything like that. So we spent time there. We also had an opportunity to work with Hand Evangelism, which is an organization that works with disabled street people. It's really amazing. Begging in Ghana, you can probably make more begging than you can having a job, selling fruit or whatever produce or wares that you have. So begging is actually a good way of life over there. And it's very hard to convince people to come off of the street and to not beg. And what Hand Evangelism actually does is they take these people and they bring them in and they teach them a trade that they can actually use. A lot of visually impaired people, they have a bakery there that they were teaching them how to bake so that they'd be able to make bread and things like that and sell it. And they have a tiny little farm with goats and things like that, and it's wonderful. And then they take their children as well, and the children are separated, but they do still see their families. It's not like they've stolen the children away and sent them off to American families or anything like that. They're still there. But the people are eventually put back into the community. They're reintegrated once they've learned their trade and they're ready, and then they're reunited with the children. And it's amazing. And so we got to have an opportunity to be at one of the ministry services that happens on the streets. And probably a lot of you have seen on TV those Save the Children ads. Like this, I don't know who the guy is, but I've seen him all my life. You know, there's some guy and he's on some poor, desolate street, and you think, is that even real? That's staged, right? That's in Hollywood somewhere. But I stood on that street. I mean, a street straight out of that picture. There was a man having a seizure off to our left, which broke my heart. And the wheelchairs were held together with little dirty pieces of shoestring, and, you know, a lot of people had canes, and if they were visually impaired, you know, had the glasses and things like that. And my heart broke. This was only our second day in Africa, by the way, so I was already a little bit jet-lagged, nervous, you know, just trying to take in everything. And my heart broke for these people, and I started crying quietly because we were supposed to be getting up in 30 seconds and singing and things like that. So I'm trying to compose myself, and God and I are having this really rapid discussion, and I said, oh my gosh, what are you doing? Look at these people. What are we doing? What are we doing? We're staying up here, and we're going to sing about the love of Jesus, and look at them. Look at them. And God, in all of his wisdom, just slammed that door shut. And he said, yeah, look at them. And I did. And I, you know, I looked around me. No one was feeling sorry for themselves. No one was whimpering about their condition. They were all praising God. There was, you know, a guy in the middle who was preaching, or it might have been my father-in-law. There was someone there. They're preaching. And as I looked around, you know, they were just all praising God. And I thought, who am I to come over here and to tell these people that they need to be miserable because they don't have this gigantic house and they don't have this hefty mortgage that makes them go to work every day, 40 hours a week? It was amazing. It was probably one of the times that God spoke to me the strongest. And it made me really, really reevaluate myself and reevaluate what I consider important. Some of the things that Dave and I had an opportunity to do were we went to a remote village. You know, Dave has this big, gigantic Jeep. I don't know if you guys ever seen it in the parking lot. It's red. You really can't miss it. He all but needs to pick me up and throw me into it when we come to church. And he's always asked me to go off-roading with him, which I'm not an off-roading kind of girl. But I can safely say I've now gone off-roading in Ghana, because when we're talking about remote villages, we're talking 2 hours drive. My mother-in-law is trying to make peanut butter and jelly sandwiches in the back of the van. It's quite an experience. You should really ask her how that went. How'd that work out for you? That would be a good question for her. And it was this little tiny red dirt trail just snaking through this green lush valley. And we were on that little tiny red dirt trail. And I thought, when are we going to get to this village? Because after you've been driving for an hour and a half and you really haven't seen anybody, you think the village has to come up. Well, I'll tell you when you get to the village. You get to the village when the road stops, because that's pretty much exactly how it happens. The road stops and there's a village. Okay, we're here. It was awesome. It was so great. And so Dave and I had an opportunity. We were with our Ghanaian hostess is a nurse in Ghana, and there was another nurse on the trip, and then myself, who was a pretend nurse at this point in time, but soon to be nurse. And we had the opportunity to pass out medications and things like that, and just the things that we take for granted, just the daily multivitamins that we take, you know, just things like that, just not so lucky over there. So we had the opportunity to share that with them. I think I'm going to pass it off to my husband now. You going to tell a little? Okay. And then we also have some pictures, and you guys can see a little bit more of what it is that we've been talking about.
Excellent. Megan was really nervous this morning because she wasn't sure what she was going to say or how she was going to fit it into the, I think, 15 minutes that Brian told us not to exceed. That wasn't quite how it was said, no. But she hit on the points that is nice, because I don't have to tell you exactly what we did, because since we've gotten back, what we did to me has seemed very insignificant. The reality that I was impressed with while we were there is that God doesn't need me to go to Ghana, to go to Cambodia, to do his work. You know, Joyce mentioned the little boy who walked up to her and said, "Jesus loves me." God will do his work with anyone. He doesn't have to use me, but what a blessing it was to be used to do that, to be a part of that. We preached when we were in Ghana, or I spoke quite a bit about Jonah, which was a lot of fun. But one of the things that really impressed me about the story of Jonah, of course, God calls Jonah to go to the city of Nineveh and to preach his word and his message. And Jonah tries to run away, and God brings him back with a little help. And when Jonah finally goes on his way, he gets to Nineveh and he preaches, and the word is received and the city repents. But the story didn't end when Jonah obeyed and God's will was done. Jonah went up on the hill and sat and looked down at the city and was upset because he didn't have the heart of God. He didn't have a heart for those people that he had preached to. He missed out on the greatest joy of missions. He missed out on the love and the relationship that you get to share just by visiting with people. The book of James says, chapter 1, verse 27, "Pure and undefiled religion in the sight of God is this, to visit orphans and widows in their distress and to remain unstained by the world." It doesn't say to feed orphans and widows. It doesn't say to clothe orphans and widows. It says to visit them, to have relationship. And when that relationship exists, then there's opportunity to provide for physical needs. But to have a relationship with. And he goes one step farther and he says, and then to stay unstained by the world, to not let selfishness creep into that, to not let my desires or my own ideas of whether or not someone should be happy and be able to praise God in their circumstance, to not let my own ideas interfere with what God wants to do and the relationship that he has built. It was such a blessing for us and a challenge for me to be a part of and enjoy the relationship that we already shared with our brothers and sisters in Christ in Ghana, to see how much of an encouragement that is and how significant it is in their culture just to be visited and to share in that time of relationship with us. I challenge all of you to... You know, Greg gets up and says it every day, and it's on the bulletin, every Sunday rather, and it's on the bulletin, breathe a prayer, share a meal, make a friend. because that really is, just as James said, that's the heart of religion. When it comes down to it, it's about a relationship with other people, because that's the picture of our relationship with God and what he desires for us. There's a few pictures that we prepared, and there's a song that goes with it. And it really isn't a mission song. The words to the song say, "Come near to me," and is a cry from the author, both to God for a deeper relationship with him, and a cry from God for a deeper relationship with us. And it's just something that really challenged me. Enjoy the pictures. And I challenge you to come near to God. Seek that relationship with him. And as you do, come near to other people. Whether it's here at home, at work, or in Ghana or Cambodia, come near to people and share in the joy that God has to bless us through relationship.
One other thing, I just want to let you know that they were calling him Pastor Dave at times. Can you see why? One other thing that I almost forgot to share with you all is that I had the opportunity to get baptized while I was in Africa as well. So a few pictures are of me in the freezing cold, not so clean ocean. We'll leave it at that.
Just want to take a few minutes as we talk about what God's heart is for our world. If you would, turn with me to Isaiah 42. And I was going to read 5 through 12, but as I was looking at it this morning, I felt like I needed to read the whole thing. As we look at Isaiah, this is one of the prophetic books where what we're going to read today is God talking about, I'm sending you a Messiah, and what that Messiah's mission is going to be. So if you turn to Isaiah 42, we're going to read verses 1 through 12. You can follow along. We're going to talk about God's mission for Jesus, and how that mission impacts us today. Here is my servant who I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will bring justice to the nations. He will not shout or cry out or raise his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. In faithfulness he will bring forth justice. He will not falter or be discouraged till he establishes justice on the earth. In his law, the islands will put their hope. This is what God the Lord says, he who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and all that comes out of it, who gives breath to its people and life to those who walk on it. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. I will take hold of your hand. I will keep you and make you to be a covenant for the people and a light for the Gentiles, to open the eyes that are blind, to free captives from prison, and to release from the dungeon those who sit in darkness. I am the Lord, that is my name. I will not give my glory to another or my praise to idols. See, the former things have taken place, and new things I declare. Before they spring into being, I announce them to you. Sing to the Lord a new song, his praise from the ends of the earth, you who go down to the sea and all that is in it, you islands and all that who live in them. Let the desert and its towns raise their voices. Let the settlements where Kedar lives rejoice. Let the people of Selah sing for joy. Let them shout from the mountaintops. Let them give glory to the Lord and proclaim his praise in the islands. So as we talk about cross-cultural missions today, we ask ourselves, what is that? What exactly is cross-cultural missions? I'm actually taking a class right now on missions, and the author of the book states that missions is the whole task, endeavor, and program of the Church of Jesus Christ to reach out across geographical and intercultural boundaries by sending missionaries to evangelize people who have never heard, who have little opportunity to hear the saving gospel. As we look at this, this is what God is sending those into these countries to do. He's sending them to take that message into these countries. And we ask ourselves, why missions? You know, we live in this world that we live in, the United States, that needs to hear Jesus Christ. But as we look at today's scripture in Isaiah, in verse 5, he says, God gives breath to its people and life to those who walk on earth. As we have children and we give life to them, what do we want to do? We want to protect them, love them, care for them, nurture them. And this is what God is saying for his children on this earth. I care for all. You know, we're fortunate to live in North America, aren't we? Because we can drive just down this road, and how many churches are available to us?
But as we go into other cultures, into other worlds, that availability isn't always there. You saw some pictures of what they worship in, poles with some tarp across the top. And people will walk miles to do that. We're really fortunate in this country that we have this. We have the resources. We can go to Provident Bookstore. We can listen to the things on the radio. We can go to the internet, television. We have all these things that these other countries don't have the ability to have. So as we move into the New Testament, as God was talking about this Messiah that was to come, we go into the New Testament, these Gospels, where Jesus is born, and he goes into ministry. In Matthew 10, it shows Jesus sending the 12 out. They've left their occupations. They're now serving God full time. They've walked with Jesus. They've learned those things that they need to know for his ministry. And now he is giving them the authority to say go as representatives. And he tells them that their ministry is to be among the lost sheep of Israel, which that kind of excludes some people, doesn't it? And Paul in Romans 1:16 says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jews, then for the Gentiles. So we look at this, 12 guys are not going to be able to do this work themselves, but they had to establish themselves as a group of people who were going to take this message. So God is saying, minister to these people. Because as they come to know me, then they're going to go out and they're going to minister among the Gentiles. In Matthew 28, Jesus says to the disciples, go and make disciples of all nations, everybody, not just Jews, but everybody, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. This message is what we are to do today. This is the message that Joyce and Julianne and Kendall and Dave and Megan, God laid on their heart to go to all the world. When we look at today's scripture, that we see that the mission of Jesus was to bring light into darkness, that their eyes would be open. His commission is for us to do that same thing. God's desire is all areas of this world be evangelized. And what does this look like when we talk about the world? We look at it. Christians in the world. There are 1.2 billion Muslims, second largest religion in the world. There are 938 million secular religions, including Marxism, communism, humanism, Gnosticism, and atheism. 400 million Buddhists, who are mostly in Japan, Thailand, Tibet, and Myanmar. 383 million Chinese folk religionists. This is Chinese mythology. 176 million tribal religions who worship nature or the spirit world, and 95 other million religions. So as we look at this, we ask ourselves, okay, how are they being reached for Christ? 6% of missionaries work with the Muslims. 3% of missionaries work with the Buddhists. 2% work with Hindus. 14% work with other religions. And 74% work with nominal Christians. There's a real imbalance here as to what is taking place in the world. And as we look at our resources, as we are providing resources for these missionaries, 1.2% of the mission funding to the 1.6 billion people who are, yeah, excuse me, 1.2 of mission funding is going to the 1.6 billion people who live in the least evangelized world. 1.2% of funding is going to that many people. Only 1% of the scripture distribution toward the least evangelized world, and only 10% of all foreign missionaries and 6% of the full-time Christian workers are directed to the least evangelized world. So we have these workers, but we don't have enough. We have a world out there that is not getting what they need to hear for Jesus Christ. And what are the reasons for this empathy as we look at this? Number one is the lack of a personal and vital experience of Christ. If we don't understand Christ's mission in our life, why should we go out? As we live in this country, so often that becomes an issue with us because things are so readily available to us, so easy for us. We have to have God's heart. And that's what he was sharing in Isaiah. This is going to be the heart of Jesus. The second reason is preoccupation with self. So often we are focused on our own needs. We just want to take care. You know, we look at our church body here. We want to have our programs and all these things, which is great. There's nothing wrong with that. But it has to go beyond. We have to have a world vision when we look at evangelism. Ignorance of actual conditions in other parts of the world. We have to learn to educate ourselves as to what is happening in other parts of the world. We saw this morning just a glimpse of a couple areas of what is taking place in this world. And the fourth reason is theological confusion and rationalization. Liberalism teaches us we don't need to worry about that. The world does not need to hear who Jesus Christ is. We just need to give them money. We need to give them clothes. And those are all great things. But they're saying we don't need to hear who Jesus Christ is. Or we rationalize, well, it's not really that important. If we set up these financial programs where money's being funneled into it, they still need to hear who Jesus Christ is. We have to understand what was the mission of Jesus. And we saw that in Isaiah today. His mission was to come into the world, to bring light to the world. But what can we do as we talk about missions? We saw what a couple people here did today. But what can we do? The first thing that we have to do is we have to pray. Isaiah 57:6 says, "For my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations." I have a book here that I had to purchase for my class. It's called Operation World. If you love to pray for missions, get a hold of this book. It gives you everything that's going on in the countries all over the world. Prayer needs, what is happening there for God. This is incredible. When I started to look at this, it overwhelmed me at first. But there's so much going on in this world. But there are so many needs, and this will guide you in your prayer time. If you have a mailbox, you get a little pamphlet every month from Brethren Christ World Missions, the challenge, telling you how to pray for these people. I encourage you to pray for them. If you feel called, there might be somebody here after today that feels a call to missions. I have information, Brethren Christ World Missions, they'll send you information to say what it's about. They have programs set up. They have STEP, which is service, training, evangelism, and promoting growth, teaching you. They'll send you out and to teach you how to be a missionary. They have missionary development programs. There's all kinds of things that you can be involved in. If God is laying that on your heart, there's things available out there for you. Stay informed of what is happening in the world with missions. Out on the table in the narthex, they're called Today, Brethren in Christ World Missions. It fills you in on what's going on in missions in the Brethren in Christ. Also, Partnership Handbook. This you can get right off the internet on the Brethren in Christ website. This will tell you what is going on in Brethren in Christ missions. There's a lot of information in this, budget, all kinds of things, anything you'd want to know. So I encourage you to check that out. Make giving a priority when it comes to missions. You know, it's important as missionaries go into other worlds that they don't have to always be concerned about, oh, I've got to get funds, got to get funds, got to get funds, because that's where their focus is going to be. Let their focus be on what God has called them to do. We live in abundance. Let us help them. As I shared a little bit here about Brethren in Christ World Missions, there's some exciting things taking place. I don't know if we don't talk a lot about that, but there are some really neat things happening in Brethren in Christ World Missions. There are missionaries in Africa, the Americas, Asia, and Europe involving 18 countries. And that's just the Brethren Christ World Missions. They also partner with some sister conferences where they're in 10 other countries. This I found interesting. In America, in North America, there's 288 Brethren in Christ congregations. Outside of America, there's 1,093. That's in other countries of this world. There are 26,629 BIC members in North America, but outside of North America, there's 83,684. How incredible is that? This is what God is doing in other countries. The goal for Brethren in Christ World Missions is to have 100 North American missionaries deployed by 2010, with 25% working among the least evangelized groups in the world. They need to get out to these people that have no way of knowing who Jesus Christ is. Brethren Christ World Missions is currently involved in a variety of church-building projects, educational endeavors that include purchasing books, Christian education seminars, study Bibles, leadership development, women and adult literacy centers, sending children to school that would otherwise not be able to attend where they receive scripture teaching and devotions. There are currently 8 hostels with nearly 700 children in those hostels. And the list goes on, and I'm not going to keep talking about this, but it's just to give you an overview of what is happening in Brethren in Christ World Missions. So to wrap this all up today, just want to encourage you. You've heard the stories today, what God is doing. It's incredible. And you see what God is doing in Brethren in Christ World Missions. And if God is laying something on your heart, whether that be prayer, whether it be getting involved in missions, there's short-term missions projects through the Brethren in Christ World Missions that you can get involved with. Whether it's giving to missions programs, whether it's giving items to missions programs, whatever it may be, let God lay that on your heart and be obedient to Him, because you are going to be a part of God's Word being spread throughout countries through all this world. How credible is that? We don't know how much time is left before God returns. And it's important that we get out, that people know who Jesus Christ is. We've heard just a little bit today of what God is doing. But that's God's heart for this world. He wants people to know who He is. But He's relying on you and I. Just as He relied on the disciples, He sent Jesus to train them, to equip them, to send them out. He's relying on us to do the same thing. So I just encourage you to pray about that, how God wants to use you in whatever way. I'm just going to close in prayer, and we're running a little late, so I'll just dismiss you at that. But I hope you've enjoyed today. I hope you've been challenged by what God has done and what God is doing, and anticipating what God is going to do in world missions. So thank you for being patient, and I just thank you for being here today and being a part of this wonderful time together. So let's pray. Father, we just thank you that we've had this opportunity to gather together, to worship you, to praise you, to see what you are doing in the hearts of those that have been called to serve you. And Father, while some of us may be called to go and to cross the world to be a part of ministry, there are those, Father, that you are calling, and I just pray that you would continue to grow that in them, and Father, that you will use them in mighty and powerful ways. What an awesome privilege it is for us to take your name into places that have never heard your name. So I just ask that you would continue to bless those that are serving you now. I know there are times they feel weary and burdened, but Father, bless them. Give them the strength, the encouragement, provide the needs that they have, that they continue functioning the way that you have called them to. And Father, for those that haven't been called yet, you would start to prepare their hearts. Help us to be a congregation that prays for the needs of missionaries, for whatever it is that you are calling us to be on our knees for, Lord. Lay that on our hearts, and to give as you have called us to give. We just praise you, Jesus. We love you, and we thank you. Thank you for this day that we've gathered together. Be with each one as they leave here, and watch over them and keep them in your care. In your precious and holy name we pray. Amen. Thank you for being with us today, and have a great week.